Welcome to You Influence Podcast, where you will hear everything you need to learn how to be a man or woman of influence for the better in your personal and professional life, in business, at work, and in your social life. Becoming a person of positive influence has an invaluable effect in ways we cannot imagine, but can only be felt in personal fulfillment. Welcome back, influencers, to another episode of Mavi Said Monday. Guys, thank you so much, number one, for listening to these episodes, to this podcast, for rating it, and also thank you for your feedback. Now, with that feedback, there's some really interesting questions that I read, and recently, a couple of people asked me, well, I see that your podcast has over 30 episodes now. You know, you're really serious about this. 2 episodes per week. That's all great. When are you going to start? Are you looking to monetize? Are you looking to bring in sponsorships, ads, and stuff like that? And my answer has been and will be a no, right? I'm not looking to monetize this podcast. I mean, the only way that I will probably monetize this podcast, if that happens, is by advertising my own company. That's it. I'm not looking to monetize this podcast through third party. And, you know, this is just another way to distribute content. Yes, I'm on Facebook, on Instagram, on LinkedIn, and I see podcast platform as another distribution channel just to put out content for you. I don't consider myself a professional podcaster. That is not my intention. It is purely for distribution of good, healthy content. So the only way you can actually pay to say thank you, you know, for this content is really by sharing it with people, by leaving a 5-star review, by leaving a comment. You know, I always appreciate feedback. Guys, today I want to talk to you about a subject that often comes up, especially I'm in New York. I'm also on the Workforce Committee with the Brooklyn Chamber of Commerce, which is the largest chamber of commerce in the state of New York, and it is the third largest in the entire country of United States. I have to say United States because I don't know where you're listening to this. Statistically speaking, I see people that are listening to this podcast from Canada, from Zimbabwe, from India, right? And obviously, majority of you are in US. So that's awesome. I love it. And going back to the chamber, like New York and California is known to be a quote-unquote soft state, right? Where the law most of the time is on the employee side with the whole Department of Labor, stuff like that. So it's not those two states, and I live in one of them. These two states are the most difficult states for entrepreneurs, for business owners to grow a business because of so many regulations, right? So the government wants us to create more jobs, but at the same time in these two states, they're making it very, very difficult for us with all these nonsense regulations. The tax rate is just ridiculous for both parties, for the employee and the employer, right? So all these things. And one of the topics that often comes up in business meetings is the work environment, the culture that the employer is supposed to create for a thriving, non-confrontational environment, right? And I'm talking to you right now, I'm being politically correct, and I'm doing my best to keep it clean. And if you know me, you know I am far from being politically correct. I don't like political correctness. I think that on a personal level, on a business level, and also on a political level with politicians, that's the problem, that we're trying to water down, you know, real life situations, and we're trying to be politically correct with everybody, and that's what gets us in trouble eventually. Instead, why don't we just be real with each other? Because I personally think no matter how of a giving personality, how much of a caring personality you have, you would appreciate the hard truth, right? Than a fake piece of information that's not real, that's watered down. Let's call it soft, right? And interpret this in political terms, in business terms, in family, it doesn't matter. It's the same information that's applicable everywhere. And trust me, with my experience in corporate America as an employee, with my experience over the course of 10 plus years in direct sales, and also with my experience in employing over 200 full-time people, it's the same. It really is the same. And I really, the traditional HR field is the block between production and not doing anything. The traditional HR approach is what's keeping people that have high potential from growing into their potential, right? So I want to break this down for you. So you're a business owner, and you often struggle with a situation where whether you know to reprimand somebody or fire them or just let it slide, right? And one of the challenges for business owners is like, how do I find the next person? How am I going to replace them? You know, he or she have been with us for 3 years, right? They're loyal, but they're not doing X, Y, and Z. So you have these fears, and that's absolutely normal, that you're not going to find somebody as good as them. And even if you are going to find somebody who's capable, you know you're going to need to invest your time, energy, money, you know, other resources into cultivating that new talent to replace the person you had to let go, right? And then there's a whole, you know, communication block. People, they're being very soft, they're being very fragile, they're being very overly sensitive to information, right? If something remotely close comes to their mind that it's not right, even though everything is right, but in their mind that the situation is not right, they run to HR, they run to DOL, like Department of Labor, right? And what I want to talk to you about is how to get rid of the watered down softness in your work environment. And it doesn't mean that you got to be hard as a rock and just like you got to be like the sergeant in the army, go, 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 go. You got to work 16 hours a day. No, I'm not talking about that either. I'm talking about the dangers of watered down environment in a workplace. You see, whenever you have a soft aspect in a work environment or in a team environment, let's say you're playing sports or you have a family, right? That's a team as well. That's an environment. It's a collective environment comprised of different individuals that have different beliefs, right? We have different backgrounds. You know, let's say you're 40 years old and you were raised most likely differently than the way you are raising your kids today, right? It's a different upbringing. It's a different environment. Your kids could be Democrats while you were raised Republican, for example, or vice versa. It doesn't matter. But when you're a team, when you are in that under the same roof, right, you need to create the environment of toughness, of making tough decisions, of getting along with different people, different personality types, different backgrounds. And that I'm talking about being hard instead of being soft. Soft is when you are rejecting everything that's in your way that is not in sync with how you think. That's what soft is, in my opinion. That when you escape something or someone that doesn't believe in what you believe in, or they don't do, or the environment is not congruent with your core. Right? That's what soft is. You are offended easily. So let's talk about the dangers. As a matter of fact, here's what I want to do. I'm going to talk to you about how to eliminate those dangerous, watered down moments that create an environment that eventually backfire on everyone, not just the leader. Okay? So let's talk about the need for HR. Do I think HR is necessary in a work environment? Let's say you have 20, 30, 100, 1,000 employees? Absolutely. Human resources, they're very important in any work organization, or at least someone who understands what HR is responsible for, what their role is, right? And if you don't have that someone in your workplace, then you need to outsource it, right? There are services out there that will do your payroll, and they also handle HR, right? They handle all the legalities, they communicate with Department of Labor, they're on top of all the new laws and regulations that come out, so you're always in the know and you're not neglecting what's important, okay? Now, HR, the traditional HR, if you study the role of HR and look at the companies, the most successful companies that are growing, that have great, phenomenal work culture, right? Those HR departments work a little bit differently than the traditional HR. And here's what I mean by that. They have a lot of personal and professional development incorporated into their HR practice. What that means is they put people first, not their feelings. There's a difference. How you feel about your job, your department, your colleague, your employer, your recruiter is irrelevant to the actual need of the human being. Here's what I mean by that. For example, I hire somebody into a position, ultimately, I recruit them into the organizational culture. Now, I find out that they are not pursuing this as a career or as a profession, and it's a temporary gig, right? Now, they had enough trust in me, and they confided that in me. Then I go into the conversation a little deeper. I find out that, you know, they're pursuing something else. Guess what? My role as a leader is not to keep them because they can do their job and I pay them their paycheck so they can make the business better. My role as a leader is to guide them in the proper direction, which includes them having to leave me as their employer to pursue what's important for them. I don't care about their feelings at this moment. They shouldn't care about me having to hold on to them because I want what's best for them. Not as an employee, but as a human being. That's the difference between feelings and putting people first. When you incorporate personal and professional development, your job as a leader is to create the environment where people trust you and understand that you want what's best for them without losing sight what's best for the business. This is the ultimate challenge. It is not an easy task. It wasn't easy for me or my partners. It is not easy for any of my clients that I work with. But as long as you keep that in mind and understand that your role as a leader is to provide what's best for your team members without losing sight for what's best for your business, as long as you keep that in mind, you will make better decisions. Because the moment you start looking at one or the other, that is when you're going to start making poor choices as a leader. Not just as a business owner or operator, but as the leader of other people. Okay? Second thing, to get rid of, quote unquote, I'm going to call it soft environment, right? Watered down environment, is to have core values. Core values that are non-negotiable. I've covered this in past podcast episodes. I cover this all the time in my trainings, in my live trainings, but core values to any organization are the non-negotiables. Okay, this is something that is not for sale. This is written in stone for you as a leader. And the way you hire people is by recruiting those people that understand your core values and are willing to work with those core values to take the company to the next level without losing their dignity and what's important for them. And you as a leader, you have to understand what maybe your people are sacrificing something in order to help the organization out. You have to value it and appreciate it. This is one of those things that helps you build trust. In reality, is HR the most important department in your organization? Absolutely not. Sales is. Because without proper sales and then marketing, or marketing then sales, however your business is set up, you don't have a business. So technically speaking, you could build a very large organization without having an HR department. And almost all of it will come from building proper trust. When your team members know that they can trust you with business decisions, with training, with onboarding, with having the right environment for them to be most productive, when they can trust you with those things, you will not need HR. Because if all these regulations, right, violations, sexual harassment, stuff like that, there's training for that. You could outsource that as well. But common sense will tell you, don't do stupid things. Stupid things won't happen. Now, does it say that it's a guarantee nothing will happen? Of course not. Because there's always going to be a knucklehead, right? Doesn't matter a guy or a girl, doesn't matter. It's a human being that will be up to no good, that will decide to get their employer in trouble. For no reason. They'll have their own reason, right? But it's a non-existent reason. So for those reasons, you need to protect yourself. Even if you don't have an HR department in-house, you need to have it outsourced. Okay? Because you have to protect yourself. You protect yourself by having insurance, right? You protect yourself by constantly recruiting new people. You need to protect yourself for these unnecessary issues that may or may not come up. Okay? Another thing with trust, you need to have open communication. Team members, like we are all a team member of some team. If it's not at work, it's family. If it's not family, it's with friends. If it's not with friends, it could be on a sports team. Wherever we are, we participate in a group environment on some level, right? And we have one of our human needs is to be understood. We need to know that our voice can be heard, even though it may not be taken into consideration because maybe it's not in congruency with the bigger picture. But we need to understand that our voice is being heard. So your people need to understand you're there to hear them out. You cannot just put a lid on it and say, you know what? Your opinion is irrelevant. We're not looking for an opinion from an accounting department when we're trying to resolve a situation in our sales department. You need to hear them out. Maybe they can contribute towards your core values, towards your training, towards your recruiting, towards your onboarding process, towards your orientation, towards your marketing. Whatever the case may be, you need to let them know that there is open communication. Okay? I covered with you before understanding other people's needs, right? And I'm not saying put their needs first. You got to put people first. Now, needs are part of that aspect. It depends what kind of need. Again, it comes back to having open communication. And just on a side note, I usually do this in my live trainings. You will see this type of information in any leadership type of class where you have three circles, right? You basically draw a snowman upside down. You have the biggest circle on top, the smaller circle in the middle, and the smaller circle at the bottom. The biggest circle on top is the priority of the business. What's important for the business? Business comes first. The second circle, the middle circle, is the team or the department. And the third one, the smallest one, is the individual need. Now, we all know that all that big circle on top would not exist if it wouldn't be for the smallest circle, which is the individual need. But here's where most leaders lose concept of this. That, well, is it the big circle? Is it the business priority first? Or is it the individual? On the individual level, it's the individual's needs first. When we're looking at the whole picture, it is the business needs first. So when we're talking about core values, that's exactly why you need them. Because that sets the tone and a foundation for the priorities of the business. And everything else, which is the middle circle and the small circle, which is the department or team, and then the individual, they contribute towards those core values. Because those core values are non-negotiable. They're written in stone. Employees will come and go. That's the truth. Even your family, like, just understand this concept. We raise our kids so they can leave us. It's a difficult concept to understand. You think about it, you're like, oh man, that sucks. That's true. But the more you think about it, the more screwed up it sounds. We raise our kids so they can leave us. I look at a business the same way. I will hire an employee, make them a team member, a family, so one day they can leave me. Because I have to be ready for it. If they do not see a future in 20 years of having a part ownership in the company and the expansion of the organization, then I have to be okay with them leaving me. And we have to look at family and work the same way. We raise them so they can leave us. But core values are the non-negotiable. They're born with us and they will die with us. That's the way you have to look at organizational management. That's the way you look at leadership. That's the way you look at when you're raising other people to be their best, regardless of their belief system, of their background, of their cultural differences. It doesn't matter. You have to understand where they see themselves and what part do they see, what role they see playing in your big circle. Also, career path conversations. Most employers are not open to having these conversations with their employees. Why? Because they don't want to lose them. Like, why am I going to invest in my people when they're going to take this information and leave me? Well, guess what? Let them leave. If they're going to leave you, they're going to leave you with or without your effort into building them. You need to understand that very clearly if you're listening to this and you have people working with you and for you. If they're going to leave you, they will leave you with or without your effort into building them as a human or professional. Okay? So the biggest objection that I get from decision makers when it comes to training their people, why am I going to train them? Because our industry is known to have employees leave their employers and open up their own office or practice or business, right? Yes, it's true. Yes, they're correct. Reality is, if they're going to leave, they're going to leave anyway, right? It's like, I always reference back to this quote by Sir Richard Branson, the founder of Virgin. He says, train your people so they can leave you, but treat them well enough so they wouldn't want to. I need to frame that and put it in my office. That's what I need. I always refer back to this quote. And I love it. And it's true. Okay? And there's proof. There's studies done on this. Okay? I even experienced this myself with my people, with my employees, with my team members. Right? It's true. Yes, you will always have that small percent that will still leave you, which is fine. It's supposed to happen that way. Your kids are supposed to leave you one day. No matter how much you love them, they will leave you. They're supposed to. Okay? So you need to be okay. But the more you invest in them, the more you train your people, the better off that big circle becomes, the stronger your core values become. And even when they do, guess what? Now you created an ambassador that will never say a bad thing in regards to your leadership style, your training, and your environment when it comes to hiring new people. Because you treated them well, you trained them. Whenever they have a conversation with somebody else and your name or your brand comes up, they'll be like, yep, you know what? Thanks to that company, I am who I am today. They helped me do what I do today on my own. That's an ambassador that you didn't have to pay to say those good things about you. Okay? It happened as a result of your good intentions and great actions. Okay, so career path conversations are very important to help your people go in a direction where they want to go, whether it's in your company or outside. That is part of trust building. When you have all of these things, you remove the watered down environment. You remove the overly sensitive environment. And guess what? If somebody is overly sensitive, if they don't like somebody talking about a topic they're not comfortable with or whatever the case, or just because you told them to do their job, but the tonality you said it in, you know, didn't come across the right way, guess what? That is their problem. Okay? Personally, I know where my heart is at. I know what my intentions are at. And I always look out after my people. What I don't tolerate is weakness, overly sensitive people, because of everything I already discussed with you. Okay? Also, another great way to get rid of that watered down environment is you have to put a lot of emphasis on the word commitment. All right? It's a commitment to the workplace. It's a commitment to their role. It's a commitment to their position. It's a commitment to the project. It's a commitment to their colleagues. It is a commitment to their employer. Whatever the case is, it's a commitment. Now, what is a commitment by definition? You get to do what you said you're going to do, even after the mood that you said it in is gone. Okay? So, one of the things that I have absolutely zero tolerance for is when somebody says on the job, and I quote, it's not my job, or it's not my responsibility. For me, that's a huge red flag that will never go down. It's a virtual red flag right above their head. Every time I see them or I hear their name, that red flag in my vision of their face is going to be right above their head. And they will always carry that red flag until the next incident, and that's when they're out. Because the moment when you say that is not my job or not my responsibility, that tells me you're not a team player. Now, technically speaking, a task may be outside of your job description or role description. Yes. When you understand sports, let's say basketball, right? You have a center, you have a forward, you have a point guard, you have a power forward, right? Everybody's responsible for their position. But often, very often, they have to fulfill each other, and you will have a center shooting, you know, a 25-footer because they have no choice and all their other team members are blocked, right? You have a point guard who is going to be posting up under the rim to make the shot, but it's not their responsibility. That is called team. So whenever you hear somebody say, that is not my job, not my responsibility, automatic red flag, it's like it's not going away, at least in my case. All right? Why? Because I am sold on my core values. My core values are non-negotiable. And that is one of my core values as a leader. I do not tolerate, it's not my job or it's not my responsibility. Even though it's not my responsibility to go clean the toilet, and I see that it's messy, and I know a customer is about to walk in, trust me on this, I will clean that bathroom. It is not my responsibility. I would hate to do it, even though I've never done it. But because I understand the big circle, that's the priority, and you don't want to show your bad self in front of a customer in a kitchen, bathroom, wherever it is, right? You need to understand that that's what needs to be done. Also, delegate decisions, especially tough decisions. Just because somebody is not used to making decisions or their position is not calling for making tough choices, Delegate that process. See how they perform. It doesn't mean you're going to throw them under the bus. You will test the waters with that individual. And when they start making these decisions, number one, you're going to let them know you trust them enough with that decision. And you're not going to reprimand them for making a bad choice or making a bad decision. They need to understand that. Again, I'm going back to raising kids because that's the best situations I could give you, right? Like, I'm a parent of two kids. If I'm delegating a decision, I will let one of my kids know when I'm doing that, hey, this is all on you. I want you to do this. But even if you don't get it or if you make the bad choice, you need to understand I'm not going to be upset with you. But I need you to start getting used to making hard decisions. Okay? All right. See, now I create a trust. They trust me enough to make that decision, even though it's a bad decision. They know I have their back. It's part of the trust factor. See, when you start, again, like when you start doing all of these things, you get rid of that, you know, wussy mentality, overly sensitive environment. And trust me on this, I've recruited people from like, with so many different personality types. I've recruited people, hired people that have never done sales. They hated sales. They didn't understand what the hell that means. And they began working with me. Today, they have their own business. Why? Because we did everything that I'm talking to you about right now. We built the trust. We provided training. We provided proper information, right? And no matter what their sensitivity level was prior to that, through proper education, through building the trust, through keeping lines of communication open and having core values in place and understanding that we're all a team, you develop these potential future leaders. Okay. Also, as a leader, this is one of the things that you need to pay attention to. Pay attention to weak language, language of weakness. Hope, try, maybe, not my job, not my responsibility. Okay. All of those things, those are words of weakness. Those are words of lack of belief in themselves, lack of understanding of what team stands for. Okay? So pay attention to those things. Also, know your boundaries as a leader. I've touched on this before. You need to understand what you can and when you can do something when it comes to execution of a task and a project. That also goes, same thing goes for your boundaries, for example, as an employer and employee, like we're talking about sexual harassment, all these, you know, the fine line things, right? You need to know the rules and you have to play by the rules. I'm talking about inside of the work environment. And when you're raising other leaders, you have to educate them the same way. And if it's not inside of your facility, you need to outsource it, go to seminars, take classes, be up to date with everything that's going on. Especially when you live in a highly, overly sensitive states like California and or New York, okay? Bring in experts. Bring in experts in the fields that you want to grow in with the organization, not just as a leader. Remember, you have a team. You're responsible for that team. When you bring in experts, you need to make sure that all of your people are exposed to that information. Too often, I sit down with people, you know, for a consultation before we start working together, and they automatically say, yeah, well, my management needs this training, and these people need your training, but everybody else, they're okay. No, it doesn't work that way. Whenever you bring an expert, you need to make sure that everyone that's on your payroll is exposed to that type of content because you will leave some people behind. They're not going to be speaking the same language. They're not going to be on the same mental level. They're not going to develop the same mental toughness. You're going to create a divide between these departments and individuals when you are selecting as far as who goes to training, who is exposed to a certain type of content or not. Obviously, if it's management training, You're not going to, you know, send your, you know, janitors to the management training until you want them, unless you want them to be in management, then you send them to management training. That's different. But I'm talking about generally, like, you know, culture development training, execution, employee responsibility, stuff like that. You want to make sure core values, right? You need to make sure that everyone is exposed to that. Guys, understand this. As a leader, if depending on what your goal is, but if your goal is to create a solid environment that goes long term and is here way after you're not, you have to create an environment that is prepared with mental toughness, that has respect among individuals despite the differences among themselves, racially, politically, gender, background, nationality, it doesn't matter. As one human being to another, we have values. And those values have to be respected. And the more commonality between those values, the stronger bond you're going to create, the tougher your team will be. Thank you so much for tuning back in to Mavi Said Monday. Guys, remember, all of you are influencers. Just choose to be the right kind. Share this episode, leave us a review, and I will catch you on the next one. Take care. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I appreciate each and every one of you for tuning in. And if you haven't subscribed to this podcast already, please show us your support by subscribing and leaving a positive review to help us advance on the chart. You can always connect with me on social media by searching for Rafael Mavi at Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or LinkedIn. If you have any questions or just want to drop a line, the fastest way to get a hold of me is through my Instagram. Until next time.